This is Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Lisa Simeone. A memorial mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral on Fifth Avenue in New York is about to get underway tonight, and we're going to be bringing you parts of that service live. We're joined here in the studio by NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson and NPR senior producer Sean Collins. Excuse me. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Mara,
Thank you. Let's go
to you first. We don't know if New York's political leadership will be here at this service at St. Patrick's tonight, but this will certainly be one of the most memorable services ever held here.
Well, that's certainly true, Lisa. I would assume that many of New York's political leaders will be there. They have attended other services that have been held so far. We know that 180 people are confirmed dead so far in New York. More than 5,000 are missing. And although this isn't a funeral for those people, it certainly is a memorial service for them. And I would say that New York's political leadership has really distinguished itself during this whole horrible episode. New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani has been hailed by many people as being a real leader, someone who struck just the right tone, who was visible in all the right places, and has really helped the city to rally to deal with this. And I would be surprised if he wasn't there tonight.
Sean, this is a mass. Is it a requiem mass? What kind of mass is it going to be?
Well, after the Second Vatican Council in the early 1960s, officially the church no longer has a requiem mass, but this is what the church would refer to as a memorial. It's not a funeral liturgy in that there are no bodies present in the church tonight, but it is a chance for the community to gather to note its loss and to remember those who died on Tuesday, not only in New York, but here in Washington and in Pennsylvania.
We use the term celebrating mass to celebrate a mass, but is that term appropriate in this case?
Absolutely. Although it seems ironic to be celebrating at a time like this, the church during these liturgies is affirming its faith in the resurrection. Each Mass is a remembrance of the redemptive act of Jesus' death and resurrection. And the church comes together to profess its faith in precisely that redemptive act, even at times of great sadness and sorrow and unspeakable loss. Even in those moments, the church says, we have to hold fast to this belief, and throws its doors open and invites people to come and share that belief and share that faith with each other. It's really a support to the community.
Once again, to our listeners, we're going to be going live to St. Patrick's Cathedral for the special memorial mass for the victims of the attack as soon as it starts. Right now we have Margot Adler standing by in Lower Manhattan. Margot, where are you exactly?
I'm about six blocks from the pile, and I'm standing here with Captain Jeffrey Smith of the Ohio Reserves, who came down late last night, drove for a long, long time, and has been working on the pile all day. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
And Jeffrey, tell me a little bit about what it's been like today.
Well, obviously, you know, people's been watching the news. They can see how dusty and dirty and the smoke's still rolling out, and occasionally they have flare-ups, you know, big pillars of smoke coming out. And most of the people working the piles right now are the New York Police Department, New York Fire Department. They want to get down there and pull out their own, and understandably so.
How many bodies have you pulled out?
I haven't pulled out any personally, thank God. I don't know how many was pulled out of the trains or bucket brigades that we were working on. I'm not sure, but there was a bunch.
Can you tell us how much longer this is expected to go on? We've heard estimates of 6 to 8 weeks. Is that reasonable?
Is it reasonable for it to be to go on, this rescue, for 6 or 8 weeks?
Well, you know, obviously I'm not an expert on this stuff. I'm just a volunteer from the state of Ohio, and you know.
Do you have the sense that there's determination still among the crew, and that
I
it's going to continue?
As long as there's a hope that there's someone alive in there, they're going to treat it as such. And that's why there's hundreds of people out there taking stuff out in buckets. And, you know, every person's treated as a live person until they determine that otherwise. You know, they bring in the dogs as soon as they got any inclination or someone down there. The dogs sniff them out, they go to a complete hush. There's no sounds at all. They even shut off the machinery. They blow a horn and everybody goes to a hush so they can determine whether or not the person is still living.
Okay, thank you both. Margot Adler, NPR's Margot Adler, will return to her in Lower Manhattan later on in the show. We are going to bring you live this service from St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. It's a special memorial mass for the victims of the attack.
Lisa, the cathedral in New York, St. Patrick's, holds well over 2,000 people, and it's packed tonight with worshipers. The liturgy, the Mass, has two main parts, the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And during the Liturgy of the Word, the faithful listen to the Word of God as revealed in Scripture, both Jewish scripture and the New Testament, and finally the Gospel, where the words of Jesus are recorded. So there will be three readings this evening, probably. There may only be two, but we'd expect to see three. One from Jewish scripture, a psalm that would be sung in response to that, and then perhaps a reading from the New Testament literature other than the Gospel, and then a reading from the Gospel itself. The procession has begun in St. Patrick's. The celebrant will be Cardinal Archbishop of New York, Edward Egan, who was installed last May after the death of Cardinal O'Connor. He's being preceded by priests of the Archdiocese of New York City. Many of them will be celebrating this Mass with the Cardinal, and lots of other ministers of the church.
And once again, we are live with the Mass, the special memorial Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. This is the Mass to commemorate the people who died in Tuesday's attacks. We will be with this Mass throughout the evening for the duration. We will bring you different sections of the Mass live, and we'll be talking to Sean Collins about the significance of the different parts of the Mass and the liturgy and the people who are participating. You mentioned Cardinal Egan. And it's Edward Cardinal Egan, who's relatively new. He's only been in New York about a year, year and a half. And what would you expect him to say? You mentioned several people are going to be giving readings, but is he going to actually deliver the sermon?
Right. There will be a homily after the Gospel, and I would suspect that the Cardinal will deliver that homily. And in it, he's challenged to instruct the faithful and to refer to the text that they've just heard, to refer to those readings, and to draw from them some instruction, something to comfort those who mourn today. And he's a pastorally sensitive man, and he's a smart man, and I would suspect he's not going to try to make sense out of what happened this week. That's really not the place for this sort of liturgy or that sort of homily. It's really a chance to try to build up the faith of those who survived and to encourage them to believe that those who have died have not lost their lives, that their lives have been transformed. And that is what the church asks its faithful to believe, that death is a transformation.
NPR's Sean Collins will be with us throughout the duration of this special Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. We also have NPR's Mara Liasson in the studio to keep us up to date on the political happenings today. What's happening on that front, Mara?
Well, many members of the administration were on television today talking about what's to come in the days ahead. The president himself made remarks when he returned from Camp David to the White House. He spoke again about hunting down the evildoers, about smoking them out of their holes. He talked about how he believes that the American people are resilient and will go back to their lives as close to business as usual as possible tomorrow. We did find out a little bit of information about what kind of a war the president has been preparing the American public for. He's talked about it as one that will be long, that won't be a pinprick strike. And today, the vice president said that there won't be any point in time where we will know that we've succeeded and won. This is something that's going to go on for the foreseeable future. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said that even when Osama bin Laden is removed, that doesn't mean that terrorism will be over. So I think the administration is really trying to prepare the American public for something quite long, quite protracted, and, as the Secretary of Defense said, something that will be very unconventional. It's not like we're mobilizing a huge army and they're marching off to war. We also heard from Secretary of State Colin Powell, who talked about the need to possibly overturn a presidential ban on assassinations. That's something that has been in place for quite some time, and that's being rethought. The Attorney General, John Ashcroft, talked about the need to revisit some laws that make it harder to prosecute and conduct surveillance on terrorists.
NPR's Mara Liasson and Sean Collins.
The Cardinal has reached the sanctuary of St. Patrick's Cathedral, and on his way up the aisle, he stopped to shake the hand of Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, who's sitting in the front row, along with UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. On the other side of the aisle, and my guess is they were not the first two to arrive at the cathedral today, and I would bet that we will hear from them after communion.
How many speakers is it possible could, is there some room in the Mass today because it's a special occasion for many people to get up and say a few words?
There is traditionally a chance after communion, after the liturgy of the Eucharist has concluded, for there to be some comment made by lay people that are not celebrating the liturgy, so who are there as part of the congregation. And my guess is that we will hear from the mayor, and seeing the UN Secretary General there, my guess is we'll hear from him as well.
Once again, for our listeners who are just joining us, we are broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, the special memorial mass for the victims of Tuesday's attack.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. My dear friends, I welcome you to this prayer, a prayer that is being prayed here in this cathedral, out on the streets of this wonderful city, throughout the state of New York and Connecticut, New Jersey indeed, across the United States of America, across the world. A prayer of courage and faith, a prayer of confidence in our God, a prayer of hope. It is so good of all of you to come here and join in this prayer. I'm sure that for many families who have lost loved ones, for many who have injured in our hospitals, for all of the wonderful police officers, the firefighters, the emergency workers, the healthcare professionals, the civic officials, for all of them, it is a consolation to know that you have come together, and that together we are going to bring the heaviness of our hearts and the hope of our hearts before our God. I would ask you now to set aside all of the thoughts, to place yourselves in the presence of the Eternal Father, and recalling our faults against His holy will, to join me now in begging forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my own fault, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have
This is
done,
the penitential rite of the Mass. After the congregation is welcomed, they then profess their own sinfulness and ask God to forgive them.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Lord,
have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God.
The Gloria is an ancient hymn in which the Church assembled in the Spirit praises and prays to the Father and the Lamb, meaning Jesus. It's usually sung, here it's being spoken.
You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. All-powerful Father, God of mercy, look kindly on us in our suffering. Ease our burden, make our faith strong, that we may always have confidence and trust in your fatherly care. Grant this to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Lisa, that ends the opening rites of the Mass, and now we'll move into the liturgy of the Word, and the people will be asked to listen to the Word of God.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Continually, we carry about in our bodies the dying of Jesus, so that in our bodies the life of Jesus may also be revealed. While we live, we are constantly being delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our mortal flesh. Death is at work in us, but life in you. We have that spirit of faith of which the Scripture says, "Because I believe, I spoke out." We believe, and so we speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up along with Jesus and place both us and you in his presence. Indeed, everything is ordered to your benefit, so that the grace bestowed in abundance may bring greater glory to God, because they who give thanks are many. We do not lose heart, because our inner being is renewed each day. Even though our body is being destroyed at the same time, the present burden of our trial is light enough and earns for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We do not fix our gaze on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is transitory. What is not seen lasts forever. The Word of the Lord.
You're listening to a live broadcast of the special Mass for the victims of Tuesday's attacks at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
Now at the cathedral, they will be singing a psalm in response to that reading, which came from a letter that Paul of Tarsus wrote to one of the early Christian churches in Corinth. It's known as one of the letters to the Corinthians, and Paul wrote many of these letters to small Christian communities, really in the early years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And they are instructions to a brand new community who, you know, there was no Bible, Christian Bible at that time. Obviously, the New Testament had not yet been collected yet for those communities. So what they had in front of them was Jewish scripture and an oral history of the life of Jesus. And Paul wrote these letters to them after visiting them throughout Asia Minor and Greece and the Middle East. And after he would visit, he'd send them a letter, often quite lengthy, sort of explaining what it was that he was trying to tell them when he was there in person. And those letters have survived and have now become part of the New Testament Christian scripture. And they're some of the earliest writing that we have about Christian belief. And as Paul writes to this church in Corinth, we do not fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And at the end of a week when the country has been barraged by images that are undeniably horrible, Cardinal Egan chose this text perhaps to remind us that it's not what we see in front of us now, today, that's transitory. We should be fixing our eyes on what is unseen.
NPR's Sean Collins will be explaining to us the intricacies of this Mass as we bring you this Mass from St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. This is the special Mass for the victims of Tuesday's attacks. We'll be with this Mass throughout the evening on NPR News.
Prepared a banquet for me in the sight of my foes. My head you have anointed with oil. My cup is overflowing. My and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. In the Lord's own house will I dwell forever and ever. My
You heard one of the cantors from St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan leading the congregation in what's called a responsorial psalm, where the faithful are asked to use some of the beautiful language of King David, as recorded in the Psalms, to respond to the reading that they just heard. Coming next will be another reading, and I suspect it will be the Gospel. I'm not sure who will proclaim it. But the deacon who will proclaim the gospel is going now to the cardinal, asking him for his blessing, and which the cardinal will give, hoping in that prayer that the words that he speaks will enlighten the minds and the hearts of the faithful. And the cardinal then puts incense in a censer. This is a sign of respect for the gospel. It's a physical, you know, visual sign to the faithful that this book that is going to be read, this book that contains the words of Jesus, should be venerated. And the church does this by the acolyte approaching the gospel book along with the deacon who is going to read the gospel. And then the deacon will take this censer, this incense burner, and swing it several times in front of the book of the gospel as a way of showing respect to that document. And, you know, remember that these are traditions that have grown up over the years when there were many illiterate people in the congregation, and the church has developed a complicated ritual language, visual language, that it uses to communicate what is important and what isn't. For instance, you know, to incense this reading, to incense the book that contains these words, signifies to the faithful that somehow what is going to be read now is the important thing that you should be paying attention to.
NPR's Sean Collins will be with us explaining the Mass, and this is live coverage of the special Mass for the victims of Tuesday's attack. It's taking place at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, and we are broadcasting this Mass on NPR News. We'll also be talking to Mara Liasson, NPR's political correspondent, throughout the course of the evening, in between parts of the Mass that we bring you from St. Patrick's.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
So the deacon has just announced that there's going to be a reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, and now he is incensing the book of the Gospels. And will then proclaim that text to a crowd of people that are standing out of respect.
Jesus went out from the synagogue and made his way, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. His disciples accompanied him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not be put to the test." He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, then went down on his knees and prayed in these words, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel then appeared to him from heaven to strengthen him. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Gospel reading has just concluded from the Gospel according to St. Luke. And now the congregation will sit, and Cardinal Egan will approach the podium and deliver his homily, in which he attempts to instruct the faithful.
You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. As we continue to listen to this celebration of the Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral from New York City, there are also many memorials going on all over the city, and Margot Adler is at one of them in Lower Manhattan. NPR's Margot Adler will be speaking to her in just a moment.
My dear friends.
Yes, I'm here.
This past week, you and I, and all of Greater New York, have seen evil up close. Innocent men and women were killed by faceless criminals, and we were stunned and confused. We were not, however, shaken. Rather, the best of us donned hard hats and workman's gloves and face masks to deal with this horror as decent, civilized human beings. And the rest of us supported them, applauded them, and prayed for and with them. Never has our community been more courageous or more noble. We have lost thousands of precious children of God. Hundreds more lie injured in hospital beds, and untold numbers mourn and ache in spirit over the losses and the injuries. We will not pretend that words can deal with this adequately. The healing will take time, as it always does. Still, we insist that the extraordinary goodness of our people has marched alongside the pain and the hurt. And thanks to television and radio and the printed media, you and I have watched them march together. We have seen police officers guiding and protecting their fellow citizens with exquisite skill and deep concern. We have seen firefighters place themselves willingly and heroically in harm's way to rescue their brothers and sisters under God. We have seen emergency workers exhausting themselves amid dust and dirt and debris, not for hours, but for days, asking only to be allowed to continue their selfless search for survivors. We have seen doctors, nurses, psychologists, hospital staffs and hospital administrators standing out in the streets in front of our healthcare facilities throughout the city, ready to lavish upon the injured the most excellent medical care available anywhere on this earth. We have seen our civic leaders and their staffs directing and, most importantly, inspiring. At the scene of the horror in hospital corridors and at tension-filled gatherings throughout the city, we have seen New York at its best. We have seen the best of New York at its best. And we have seen New Jersey, Connecticut, and the nation coming to the aid of New York with their best. We're from Hoboken. We're from Montclair. We're from Bridgeport. We're from Fairfield. We're from Chicago. We're from Los Angeles. I have personally heard all of these declarations and more with my own ears at the World Trade Center site in what we have come to call Ground Zero, but which I call Ground Hero. It now falls to all of us to take the next steps as the smoke at the World Trade Center dissipates and ceases to rise. How will we deal with these next steps? The formula of the Apostle Paul in our first reading this evening is the answer I would propose. We will not lose heart because our inner being is renewed each day. We will confirm ourselves in goodness and holiness. We will keep our eyes, fasten our gaze on the unseen Father in heaven, whose providence is never, ever to be called into question. If this be our approach, I have the greatest confidence as to what lies before us. I am sure that we will continue to console the mourning and care for the hurting with unflagging sympathy and love.
I am sure that we will seek justice in this tragedy as citizens of a nation under God in which hatred and desires for revenge must never have a part. I am sure that we'll allow no group or groups in our diverse but united community to be accused or abused because of the outrageous misdeeds of individuals. I am sure that we will not harbor thoughts of war of any kind without careful, prayerful consideration of what is right and just before the one God and Father of us all. I am sure that we will roll up our sleeves and rebuild the scarred sectors of our beloved city with enthusiasm and wholesome New York-style pride. I am sure that the citizens of our nation's capital, with whom we now have a special bond, will do no less. And why am I sure of all of this? Because I have proudly watched New York and our nation in action over the past 6 days. And I am filled, yes, filled with confidence in their goodness, in their courage, and in their faith. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God made man was about to enter into his tragedy. He fell on his knees in a quiet garden, we read in the Gospel this evening, and he prayed. The evangelist reports that an angel of the Lord appeared to give him consolation and strength. Here this evening, in this cathedral and in the streets surrounding it, we ask our Father in heaven for the selfsame gift, consolation and strength. Nor shall we ever doubt that those gifts will be ours. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty. We were fashioned in His image. We looked and yearned to spend an eternity in His presence. We place our trust in Him and we move forward. Injured, yes, but resolute. Hurting, yes, but confident. We join hands and hearts across the 5 boroughs of this city, across our beloved state, across the tri-state community, even across the nation. Our Heavenly Father is with us. We know what He expects us to do. We will roll up our sleeves and we'll get to it. Amen. I have been intentionally brief this evening. We have all heard so much talk over the past 6 days that we hardly know how to listen anymore. We need time to think, time to commune with our God. All the same, there are 2 final notes that I want to add. First, I want to give us all an opportunity to thank our police officers, our firefighters, our emergency workers, our healthcare professionals,
you're listening to live coverage of a special mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City for victims of Tuesday's attacks. The mass is being celebrated by Edward Cardinal Egan, who is giving the homily now. And you're listening to this on NPR News. There's a standing ovation now because the Cardinal has just asked everyone to acknowledge the heroism of the firefighters and the rescue workers at the site of the collapse. This is, again, live from St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, a special mass to commemorate.
And before you sit down, I want you, in addition to our police officers, our firefighters, our emergency workers, our healthcare professionals, I want to give us all an opportunity to thank our president for coming to see us, and for our governor and our mayor for being with us at every step along the way.
Again, this is Edward Cardinal Egan, who is celebrating this special mass in honor of the victims of Tuesday's attacks at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. He's just acknowledged Governor Pataki, Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, and President Bush for their actions in the wake of these attacks. Governor Pataki and Mayor Giuliani are embracing each other, clearly very moved, in the front of the cathedral, St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
Could I ask you to be seated for just a moment? The second and last added note is this. I received this letter from Angelo Cardinal Sodano, who is the Secretary of State of the Holy See of the Vatican. Dear Cardinal Egan, the Holy Father has asked me to transmit to you the following message. And this message isn't to me, it's to us. So I'm going to read it, though I must admit, it was faxed, and my eyes aren't what they used to be. So I'll go slow, pretending to be careful, but actually looking hard. I join my prayers to those of all assembled in St. Patrick's Cathedral for the masses of suffrage, which will be celebrated for the countless civilians and the heroic police, firefighters and healthcare workers who lost their lives in last Tuesday's terrorist attack on New York City. At this moment of profound grief for the whole American people, I am spiritually united with the faithful of the Archdiocese of New York and the highest authorities of the United States and the United Nations, as you commend the departed to the infinite mercy of Almighty God. I express my confidence that in this time of trial, all Americans will find in their religious faith a source of renewed hope and the impetus for an ever more determined resolve to reject the weights of hatred and violence. To those affected by this immense tragedy, I hold up the light of the gospel and pray that by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, they will be led to an ever closer union with the Lord Jesus Christ in the mystery of his cross and resurrection. To all, I solemnly repeat the gospel injunction, not to be conquered by evil, but to conquer evil with good. To trust in the power of God's grace to transform human hearts and to work fearlessly to shape a future of justice, peace, and security for the children of the world. Upon the people of the New York area and all engaged in the work of spiritual and material rebuilding, I invoke the divine gifts of wisdom, strength, and perseverance in good. To you and all the faithful, I cordially impart my apostolic blessing as a pledge of comfort and peace in the Lord. John Paul II.
Edward Cardinal Egan celebrating a special mass for the victims of Tuesday's attacks from St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. We're bringing you special coverage of this mass here on NPR News. I'm Lisa Simeone, joined in the studio by NPR's Sean Collins and Mara Liasson. We'll talk to them in a moment, but first we go back to Lower Manhattan to NPR's Margot Adler, who's standing by. There are many memorials and services going on all over the country and also all over New York City, and there are poems being read. And Margot, what else is going on down there?
Well, I think besides the hundreds and hundreds of services, Perhaps even more extraordinary are the private and personal little memorial moments that are happening here in Lower Manhattan. There are candles burning on street corners, flowers, there are little tiny poems. There's one place right on Canal Street and right on 7th Avenue where there is like a Tibetan prayer wheel. There are hundreds and hundreds of yellow ribbons, and on each of these yellow ribbons are a little post-it with a tiny little comment that someone has written. Some of them are in English, some of them are in Spanish. And next to this are larger, larger poems, some of which are incredible, incredible, credible poems. And I was standing looking at some of these poems next to the notices of people who are missing. And I was sitting with a young woman, I was standing with a young woman, and we were looking at this poem together, and she actually just collapsed onto my shoulder as we were reading it. And so I took a pen and I wrote it down. And it seemed to me to say as much as any sermon that I've heard in the couple of services that I've been to this morning. And so I thought I'd read it. It's from a woman named Sasha Hatchett. And she writes, "After the smoke clears here, after we lose the fear, will it be over so fast? These pains, will they last? 490-206, and it's oh so long, the ringing death toll that sounds so wrong. It was like a movie, fictional scene is what they say, and that's what it seems. Hate, bomb them. Mercy, forgive them. Should we be lenient and let them be, or should I show them the pain they showed me? It's in the paper and on TV, you try not to look and turn away, you pretend not to hear a little girl say, why didn't Daddy come home today?" And as we stood reading this, it was just, you know, there's nothing words can say.
Thank you, NPR's Margot Adler. She's by Canal Street in Lower Manhattan. And what are other, it sounds completely quiet. Are people just standing and going from memorial to memorial and reading?
Well, I think it's mainly, it's complicated. I think some people just stand there and look at the smoke that's still billowing out. Some people are actually walking their dogs. There are artists that are actually sitting four blocks from the pile and painting and saying, well, I just feel there's been so many pictures, but I need to say this in art and sketching. And then there are people who are going and just passing by these little yellow ribbons and adding to them and standing there. And it feels very much like the Vietnam Wall, those poems that particularly when the wall went up and there were all those individual expressions and letters to your brother and your father. And it's just, you know, it's such a personal and individual experience that's, you know, not formal religion. It's everybody's sort of heart just going out.
I mentioned that it sounds so quiet. I was just wondering if there are any places in the city that you're aware of where people have formed impromptu concerts. I mean, music often gives people solace, and I'm just remembering images of the Balkans string quartets got together and... Go ahead.
There's actually a guy down here that we had, the news people had to tell to shut up because he had his own trumpet and he was just going on playing things like Amazing Grace and America the Beautiful. And of course, you know, we're right here with all these satellite dishes and everything, and people were just finally telling him, you know, some people wanted it, but all the news people needed to cover. And so he was finally told to just pack it in.
There actually has been a trumpeter out in front of Union Station. He's there many days in general, but after this happened, he's been there every day playing Amazing Grace and various hymns solemnly, and nobody there has asked him to be quiet, but I guess it's a different situation with news people in New York.
But there has been beautiful music. I was at one church service earlier today, and they sang, you know, Aaron Copland's Down by the River. Just hauntingly, beautiful choir. They sang Amazing Grace, they sang America the Beautiful, and there was this was about 1,000 people just standing and singing. So I think there's been, you know, commemorations of all different kinds over the city.
NPR's Margot Adler in Lower Manhattan. We'll be checking back in with Margot Adler throughout the evening. Thank you, Margot. We're also bringing you live coverage of a special mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. This is a mass for the victims of Tuesday's attack. You can hear the singing right now. NPR's Sean Collins is here. What hymn are they singing now, Sean?
Let's listen.
Oh.
Lisa, I'm embarrassed to say that I don't know what this hymn is, but I can tell you what's happening on Fifth Avenue at 50th Street. Not to be irreverent, but they're setting the table for the Eucharistic celebration that will begin shortly. They're preparing the altar for the presentation of bread and wine, which will be placed on the altar, and then Cardinal Egan will pray over them. Prayer that the Church refers to as the Eucharistic prayer. It's a long prayer of thanksgiving and of supplication and of remembrance of those who have died, those who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith. It asks that the community gathered there in the cathedral be united, that the community at large be united, in fact, the community globally be united, and that human beings eschatologically be united, that we be united with those who have gone before us. And this will be a moving moment for the people in New York City to pray that those who lost their lives on Tuesday, that the people here in New York at the cathedral will be united with them again.
I should explain as well that NPR senior producer Sean Collins was a Benedictine monk for several years, which is how he's able to lead us so ably through the different steps in the liturgy and explain the history behind these different parts of the Mass. We're listening to special coverage of a Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City for victims of Tuesday's attacks on NPR News. And before we return to the celebration of the Mass, we're going to Andy Bowers, NPR's Andy Bowers in New York. He's standing just outside, has been standing outside New York, outside the cathedral today, and watching the people line up. Andy, are people still lined up there?
Well, a number of people, Lisa, were not able to get into the cathedral because there was a huge line around two city blocks, people trying to get in. So they did set up a sort of pen on right sort of in the middle of Fifth Avenue where people could gather and listen to the service as it was being broadcast over speakers. Unfortunately, they couldn't see a lot of what was going on inside, but they were able to hear the sermon by Cardinal Egan, and I think many people were very moved by it.
Okay, NPR's Andy Bowers outside St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. Thank you, Andy. We're going to return to the celebration of the Mass and also to NPR's Sean Collins.
I should say that silence plays an important part in the liturgy. It gives people a chance to reflect and recollect their thoughts before moving on to the next part. So unlike broadcasting, silence is golden sometimes in a church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, all-powerful and ever-living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. In you we live and have our being. Each day you show us a Father's love. Your Holy Spirit dwelling within us gives us on earth the hope of eternal joy. Your gift of the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the foretaste and promise of the Paschal feast in heaven. With thankful praise in the company of the angels and saints, we glorify the wonders of your power.
Thank you.
You're listening to special coverage from NPR News.
Father, you are holy indeed, and all creation rightly gives you praise. All life, all holiness comes from you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the working of the Holy Spirit. From age to age, you gather a people to yourself, so that from east to west, a perfect offering may be made to the glory of your name. And so, Father, we bring you these gifts. We ask you to make them holy by the power of your Spirit, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate this Eucharist. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks and praise. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again he gave you thanks and praise. He gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. To mind the death your Son endured for our salvation, his glorious resurrection and ascension into heaven, and ready to greet him when he comes again, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look with favor in your church's offering and see the victim whose death has reconciled us to yourself. Grant that we are nourished by his body and blood, may be filled with his Holy Spirit, and become one body, one spirit in Christ.
May he make us an everlasting gift to you and enable us to share in the inheritance of your saints with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with the apostles, the martyrs, and all your saints on whose constant intercession we rely for help.
Lord, may this sacrifice, which has made our peace with you, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Strengthen in faith and love your pilgrim church on earth, your servant, Pope John Paul, our Bishop Edward Michael, and all the bishops, with the clergy and the entire people your Son has gained for you. Father, hear the prayers of the family you have gathered here before you. In mercy and love, unite all your children wherever they may be. Welcome into your kingdom our departed brothers and sisters and all who have left this world in your friendship. We hope to enjoy forever the vision of your glory through Christ our Lord, from whom all good things come.
Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
This is a special report from NPR News. It's live coverage of a special mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City for victims of Tuesday's attack. I'm Lisa Simeone here with NPR's Sean Collins and Mara Liasson. And Sean, what's going on now?
The Eucharistic prayer has just ended, and now we're moving into the communion rite, which begins with the Lord's Prayer.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, O Lord, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all anxiety, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Now the deacon has invited the faithful and the cathedral to share some sign of peace with one another. The clergy traditionally hug one another on a shoulder or kiss one another on the cheek, and you'll see that happening in the pews as well, along with hearty handshakes expressed over the pews. There's a lot of reaching that goes on. You see people in the crowd that you recognize. There's waving that goes on. And meanwhile, the choir is singing the Agnus Dei, an ancient prayer of the church, which refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it's sung, that phrase is sung twice, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And then finally, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace.
You're listening to a special report from NPR News. This is live coverage of the special mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City for the victims of Tuesday's attacks. I'm Lisa Simeone here with Sean Collins, NPR's Sean Collins and NPR's Mara Liasson. And Sean is going to explain to us. We'll be returning to the service later.
Well, the Agnus Dei was just sung, this ancient hymn, and now the Cardinal will begin the communion rite of the Mass, in which bread and wine will be distributed to the thousands of people that are there in the cathedral. That'll take a little while, and there'll be music throughout that.
Sean, why St. Patrick's Cathedral? Why is this so significant for New York?
Well, it's the Cathedral Church of New York. It is the seat of the Archbishop of New York. It is traditionally, perhaps arguably the most important diocese in America. You could argue that Baltimore is the oldest, but perhaps New York is the most important. It is, the Catholic Church in America is a church of immigrants. It's no wonder that with the Irish population in New York, that the Cathedral Church is dedicated to the honor of St. Patrick. As someone named Sean McDonough Collins, I can tell you that growing up in Missouri, we all knew that the cathedral in New York was St. Patrick's, and we always referred to Rockefeller Plaza as being across the street from St. Patrick's rather than the cathedral being across the street from Rockefeller Plaza. But it is a symbol of immigrant American Catholicism, and the fire department of New York was traditionally a stronghold of Irish immigrant workers, and it resonates for, I think, a lot of people that the celebration should be there.